We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tell me there's a chance that Aaron Rodgers leaves the Green Bay Packers, because all of a sudden I look around. The team that I root for is in a division where you got the Lions, who have this maniac head coach and no roster and no quarterback. You got the Bears, who are in all sorts of hell with Mitchell Trubisky and what the hell they're going to do. And then an Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay Packers team as they start to move on and rebuild with Jordan Love, who may end up being good because all they do is have good quarterbacks there in Green Bay ever since Brett Favre got there, followed by Aaron Rodgers. But tell me, please, there's a way that Aaron Rodgers wants to go somewhere else or retires. He's dropping hints.
No.
You know, what's that phrase? Follow the breadcrumbs or whatever? He's leaving breadcrumbs all over the place last night. Breadcrumb here, breadcrumb there. Hey, everybody's future is up in the air, including mine. Little breadcrumb there. He said, it wasn't my decision on the fourth down, all this stuff. Oh, it hurts. Ugh, he's saying this was a miserable, miserable loss for him, and he wants to go somewhere else. You can just feel it.
No, it's not going to happen.
He wants out.
As a matter of fact, all through the year, and as the year progressed, he kept saying he's in a better place. He's found happiness. You know, he's a deep thinker. I keep telling you that. And yesterday, that was raw emotion speaking. You know, the futures are in jeopardy. That's a bunch of crap. He's gone to two back-to-back NFC Championship games. He's going to be the MVP of the NFL this year. And, you know, with the exception of really what happened at the end of the game where they decided to kick the field goal as opposed to going for it, I thought his coach actually had a reasonably good game plan. I mean, he did all the right things. And when they found themselves in the midst where they actually had to take a penalty on purpose, they did it. They did a bunch of good, really good things.
Yep.
Except for kicking that field goal. But then again, you have to assume, okay, we're going to go for it on fourth down. Doesn't mean we're going to make it.
Man, I tell you, I think if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I look around and I say, you know, I've accomplished a lot, and now is the time to...
It's a Vikings fan in you talking.
Yeah, no, I would say I've accomplished a lot here in Green Bay, but obviously this run has come to an end.
No, it hasn't.
They have drafted a quarterback in Jordan Love. Me and Matt LaFleur, we've done some good things, but it really isn't a good fit.
Have we heard one thing about Jordan Love since the day that he was drafted?
No, but we know he's on the roster. And
kind of like Aaron Rodgers was on the roster for 3 years.
Yeah, no, he was. And I would say if I was Aaron Rodgers, I would tell my agent, hey, listen, agent, there are a couple places out there that could really use me that are ready to win now, and I think it's time to move on. And also, by the way, he was just beaten by a guy who left a place where he was known for. They were synonymous, Tom Brady and the Patriots, and he saw what Tom Brady's doing with the Buccaneers, and Aaron Rodgers' gears are turning, and he says, hey, agent, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Indianapolis Colts, you know, see what's going on there. I know Ben plans to play, but who knows? You know, but the Colts, they have an opening. Like, just see what's going on there. Those two AFC teams, they're probably not going to trade Aaron Rodgers to an NFC team like the 49ers. Just check on those two AFC teams and see what's going on, because right now is the time to move on.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
I'm tired of playing in the cold all the time. Get me in a dome somewhere.
You know, the interesting thing is, if Aaron thought that there were going to be four downs there, he could have easily asked, is this a four-down territory? Let me know what we're going on. You know, are we going to go for it here?
Well, it's a safe assumption. I mean, everybody in the world thought they were going to go for it.
Everybody in the world really feels like they should have gone for it. And as Matt LaFleur said after the game, of course, when you make a decision and it doesn't work out, you regret it. I understand that. But I also understand why he made this decision. I'm saying it's right. I would have won 4-2. But with three timeouts, the two-minute warning, your defense finally getting turnovers in the second half against a Tom Brady team that hasn't played well in the second half offensively, you know, things change. And that changes your thinking. It kind of does show me that he was into the game. And then, obviously, when they had that second and short and they take the offside penalty on purpose to sync up the timeouts to the downs, again, shows me he's in the game. He's thinking about the game. When he threw the challenge flag on the kickoff that hit the goal line, shows me that he's into the game. He knows what's going on. And he was into the game. It's just that his decision came back to haunt him, especially when the Twittersphere is just hammering away at him, where everybody, I guess, in the Twittersphere either thought that they were going to convert the fourth down into a touchdown and then convert the two-point conversion to tie the game.
Hell, maybe it's the Packers that say, you know, we're moving on, Aaron. You know, just like we did with Brett Favre, now is the time. We're going to do it a little bit earlier than we did it with you.
No.
And this
Not
is
happening.
It.
Not happening.
We're tired of this. We're tired
Not
of
happening.
You controlling this organization. We're tired of having to yield to you and your press conferences and this next level thinking stuff. We don't want that anymore. So that's someone else's problem.
I would tell you that there's more chance that the defense coordinator get axed than anything else, but the only reason that he would get axed is because of what happened at the end of the first half.
Sure.
And that's Mike Pettine.
Right. That was a Greg Williams-esque type of situation there at the end of the first half.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Larry up in Utica. What's going on, Larry? I'm sure it's beautiful in Utica this time of year. What do you got for us?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Good. I had a question for Boomer. Now, I know he's an offensive guy, quarterback. He could change the play at the line of scrimmage and audible. Does a defensive guy have that option? If a call comes in man-to-man in that situation, does he say, we can't play that defense, we're going to get burned?
I think if your name is Ray Lewis, you may have a chance of doing that. I don't necessarily know that anybody on the Packers would have that the right to change it. And all I know is that there's got to be a message sent in from the sideline, especially after Tampa Bay calls timeout.
Yeah, right.
You know, you have to be able to tell everybody. And there are defenses you can call that would prevent that. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to play man coverage. You don't have to put a guy out there one-on-one like this. But you also hope that the guy that's out there, in this case it's Kevin King, the defensive back, that he's aware of the situation. And the only thing that can hurt them is to let somebody get behind you.
Well, do you remember the whole Greg Williams end of the Oakland game situation?
Yes,
where
yes.
Marcus May actually did say that once he had the call, you know, he crossed his mind to like nix it, but did not?
Yeah, well, maybe Marcus May, as he gets older, and, you know, maybe a guy like Ronnie Lott could change things. Maybe a guy like Troy Polamalu could change things in the secondary. I mean, there have been guys that have done that. Mike Singletary with the great Bears defense.
Right.
You know, if he didn't like what maybe Buddy Ryan was sending in, maybe he changed a defense or two. But it's just, it's a really bad play by the individual player himself, too. That's also in the equation.
Go to Jeremy in Connecticut. Hello, Jeremy.
Yeah, hi, guys. How's it going?
What's
All
up,
right,
man?
Jeremy, what's happening?
Actually, I wanted to – I don't know if you guys had mentioned this morning. I didn't actually – I heard Troy Aikman sort of give lip service to it when it happened. You know, everyone's killing Matt LaFleur for sort of making the decisions that he did, but I find it interesting that if Aaron Rodgers tucks the ball and runs it in on either second or third down right there – and I'm not saying it's a gimme – but if you watch that video, he's in on either play if he tucks it and runs. So I'm going to put this, and it's an interesting segue into my call from what you were just talking about, Gio, with them parting ways with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I'm going to put it on Aaron Rodgers here. I'm not saying that he's done or anything, but those two decisions, I think, were the most crucial ones of the entire game that haven't really been discussed. And I think he blew it personally, even though he played well in that game.
Yeah, so Jeremy, we did bring it up in regards to what Aaron Rodgers said after the game. He
yes.
said that he believed he had four downs to work with in that spot, and if he knew that they were going to kick a field goal if they didn't make it on third down, that he might have run. Now, both that explanation doesn't really fly with Boomer and I.
No.
But that's
no,
what he said. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like it. And you know, the other thing, too,
Monday
is
morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And he brings up a really good point. The other thing, too, is to remember, you know, in Pittsburgh this year, what was being said about the way their offense was being run and why was their offense being run the way it was being run?
Well, they weren't running the ball. They were not throwing the ball down the field.
But why?
Ben was changing the plays at the line of scrimmage.
Right. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers has the ability to call plays at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Why don't they run the ball on one of those two downs? They're running effectively. I mean, you don't have to try to throw everything into the end zone.
They didn't have Aaron Jones at that point.
All right. Well,
that is a factor.
CJ, what's his name?
AJ Dillon, and then also Jamal Williams are there.
It's a sledgehammer.
Right. That's something that has to be a part of the conversation.
But they get all the way down there, and then all of a sudden it's throw, throw, throw. And I'm like, look, I know you have Davante Adams, you got Tonyan, you got Valdez Scantling, you got Lazard, you got enough guys that you can throw the ball to. There's no question about it. But you can run the ball if you want. I mean, the Chiefs ran the ball in for a touchdown yesterday from, like, the 9-yard line.
Yeah, they did. Damian Williams.
Yeah. It's not like everything has to be around the quarterback and always. And I'd really love to know whether or not Aaron was changing the plays or he saw a defense that he felt like, you know, he wanted to throw into. All I know is that it felt to me like the Buccaneers defense was, like, backing off and, like, really trying to stop from the pass, you know, from being completed. You can run in those situations.
Yeah, and on that third down, I mean, he really did force the ball in there. There were two defenders there just draped over Davante Adams. It really didn't make any sense to throw that ball in that spot. I mean, it's not like he passed up the ability to run to either get in the end zone or very close to the goal line to throw to a wide-open receiver. I mean, he forced a throw across his body, essentially, guy who was double-covered.
He could have totally laid it on the line. You know what I'm saying? Could have totally laid it on the line and dove it and tried to dove.
Like John Elway back in the Super Bowl with the helicopter thing, right?
Yeah, you could. I mean, you know, the interesting thing is just I would love to know whether or not he was changing the plays. You know, I'm sure. Look, he has freedom to do whatever he wants. He was the MVP. He's one of the reasons why they got as far as they got, and they had a home field advantage.
Yeah, well, hopefully he was changing the plays against the coach's wishes, and he's tired of it, and then decided to trade him. Let's go to Sal in Keyport, New Jersey. What's up, Sal?
I am sick to my stomach. I didn't sleep last night. I called in sick today. My boss laughed at me and said, I have to go to work today because Packer Nation is sickening. How does he do that? You take the ball out of the best player on the field. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and you're talking about Matt LaFleur, obviously, kicking the field goal. Yes, Sam, look, nobody agreed with it but Matt LaFleur.
You know, the best player on the field had three previous downs to get that ball in the end zone and didn't.
Dude, he should have ran that ball on second down. He should have ran it right through the heart of the center.
All right, but just so you know, that's not the coach. That's the player.
But, oh, my God.
I know my son feels the same way you do. My son is a Packer owner.
Yeah.
He owns shares in the Packers.
I couldn't even watch the Kansas City game, guys.
I've been there before.
Gio, unbelievable. I don't know how I'm going to get over this one.
Yeah, really? Well.
With the frigging pandemic, and now I got to deal with this?
Yeah, Sal.
I've been out working since March.
Sal, in the middle of a goddamn pandemic. No, I know. I feel you. I've been in those spots before, losing a championship game and then not wanting to watch football ever again in my life. But, yeah, there's a couple of things. There's a bunch of things you can be really upset about if you're a Packer fan. It's not just the Matt LaFleur thing, which was a terrible call. Everybody agrees with that.
I actually thought he had a good game up until that point.
He also made a really smart call after that, too, with the timeouts and then taking the encroachment on purpose to be able to give him a first down so that it didn't drain the clock and you still had all three timeouts. So, I mean, it was the play at the end of the first half. It was Aaron Rodgers' execution around the goal line. It was the decision not to go for it. I mean, all of those things were there. I mean, the Aaron Jones fumble, too, which when they're down 18 already, just like that, that's another big problem.
I just pray to God that Rob Saleh was looking at all these things and going through his brain, you know, what is he going to do in these situations?
Sure.
Because this is really where a rookie head coach learns baptism under fire. And you just hope that he has somebody good in his inner circle that is going to be that's going to help him manage these games, because no longer are you just doing defensive stuff. Now it's you got to do it all, and you got to in a situation like that, he's going to have to say to Jeff Ulbrich, "Look, make sure our guys know don't give something up deep over the top of them, or make sure." You know, I know that, you know, that ball hit the goal line on the kickoff, and they didn't call it a touchback when it should be a touchback. You know, these are all the little things that go on as a head coach. And Joe Judge found that out this year, so I'm sure he'll be much better at it next year. And that's the risk you take, hiring a guy who's never been a head coach before.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Jerry Recco back with us, and he's got an update, and you got a microphone without a windscreen on it there, so watch your face, man.
I do,
you
yes.
You got to be careful with that. You scratch your face all up with that the microphone there.
Well, I'm not going to rub on it.
Well, sometimes I do. Sometimes I get really close, and then I hit it, and then I got a couple of other windscreens in here if you want them that are all dusty and probably filled with people's germs. And
no, I have a new one. I just wasn't planning on using this.
All right. No, I understand.
I wasn't ready.
I got you. So what do you got for us this morning?
Well, we've got the Bucks and the Chiefs heading to Super Bowl 55 in Tampa Bay. The Bucks beat the Packers yesterday 31-26, and along the way, one of the more remarkable 20-yard runs you'll see.
Brady under center, first and 10, snap, spin, handoff, Fournette runs into his own blocker, hurdles him, stiff arms his way, runs on the 20 to the near side, 15, breaks a tackle on a spin at the 10, the 5 to the pylon, near side, touchdown! Leonard Fournette, acrobatic run!
Yep, that was Kevin Harlan, Westwood One on the Fan. It sure was.
It's a great run, man. It's an all-time, hurtling over the guys who are on the ground right at the line of scrimmage. The spin, dive into the end zone. I mean, just, it's incredible. Incredible play in a huge moment.
Outstanding, no question about it. Here was Fournette after the Bucks win 31-26. He says, means a lot.
I was crying for like 30 minutes, a couple minutes ago, on the phone with my mom, my dad. It's about my journey. First from Jacksonville, from me going to jail, from me getting cut. I think it's just it's a wonderful story how it's playing out.
Yep, I would say so. Tom Brady threw for 280 yards, 3 touchdowns, was picked off 3 times. He is quite happy for his head coach, Bruce Arians.
I'm so happy for him, and absolutely. I mean, it's amazing. It's, I think for me and my experience, it's not – you know, for me, I don't think about what it means for me. I do think about what it means for everyone else. And it's an amazing achievement.
Because he's bored by it by now. She goes for a 10th time. Here was Arians on Fox after the game, asked about getting Brady, getting to the Super Bowl and all that comes with it.
You wanted number 12 to come down and become a part of this mission and this group, Bruce. How do you describe what he has meant to make this moment a reality?
This trophy. This trophy, the belief he gave everybody on this organization that this could be done. It only took one man.
One man.
Yeah.
His name is Tom Brady.
I mean, it's true, though. You think that Bruce Arians was getting to the Super Bowl without Tom Brady?
Like, probably not.
Yeah, no way.
Think Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos, same thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
A lot of good young players in that Bronco team that ended up getting a lot of money and free agency and things of that nature. A lot of guys off of that staff got jobs, Adam Gase included. This is what a great quarterback can do for organization and just take it to a whole nother level.
No question. On the flip side, Aaron Rodgers loses an NFC championship game for the 4th time in 7 years. The big topic this morning and last night was the decision to kick the field goal with 2:05 to go, down 8 as they were inside the 10-yard line. Here was Rodgers.
Yeah, that wasn't my decision, but
understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but yeah, that wasn't my decision.
Well, the decision did fall on Matt LaFleur, as we know, so he took us through it.
It was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2 point.
Could have had yards if Rodgers ran on third down.
Right, and on second down as well.
And that too. Yeah, exactly. And so you've got Tampa Bay advancing, and they will take on, indeed, the Kansas City Chiefs, because Patrick Mahomes does it again, and so does KC as they beat the Bills.
Last year, Kansas City beat Tennessee 35-24 in the AFC Championship game, trying to do it back-to-back years. Rush coming. Mahomes floats it. Wide open, Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And as Iron Eagle, Westwood won on the Fan. That was pretty much turn out the lights at that point. Chiefs wound up winning the game 38-24. Kelce, what a day. 13 catches, 2 go for touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, 172 yards receiving. Here was Kelce postgame.
I feel like last year it was a question of whether or not we belonged. And this year it was, let's go out and prove to ourselves that we are who we are. And the resiliency, the how we're going to handle adversity.
Well, they've done all that. Here was Frank Clark. He was interesting. You had the McCole Hardman muff.
Yeah.
He says perhaps it was planned. Who knows?
I keep people watching, too. So, you know, I don't know if Cole did that on purpose, but it keep people watching. It keep them on the edge of their seats and stuff like that, too. So, you know what I mean, man. Little Chiefs football.
Clearly joking, I would think.
What are you hoping for? A muff.
Imagine. Imagine if McCole Hardman's like, listen, we thought we were going to blow them out. We wanted to give CBS a better game. So what we did was we spotted them a 9-0 lead. We wanted it to be 10. But they couldn't convert there, so we spot them a 9-0.
You know, the interesting thing, and this is Andy Reid, if you notice the next couple of plays, guess who had his...
McCole Hardman.
Yeah. Right, had the ball in his hands. It was McCole Hardman. He was the guy that had the reverse down the sideline. It was, that's what you do. You get your guy right back into the game and give him the ball, and let's go make a play.
Get the confidence back up. Here was the final question to Clark.
I think we heard a few weeks back Chase Young say that he wants Tom Brady. He wants Tom. You have a message for the GOAT headed into the Super Bowl?
Nah. I ain't got nothing to say to him. I'll see his ass on Sunday in the Super Bowl.
There you go.
I'll see his ass.
Now, I think these are the clips you wanted from Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Talking about Patrick Mahomes.
I sit there, and I'm an old guy that's seen a couple of pretty good quarterbacks, and I just keep going. This guy seems to amaze me a little bit more every game.
Not only relax, Boomer. Not only on the field, but off the field as well.
I'm proud of the way he handles it. He doesn't... You know, you guys aren't writing stories about this guy's got a big head, this and that. You know, he's showing people up, and no, he's about the team, and he's all in, and he works his tail off. You know, he does it the right way.
Oh my God, come up for air. Jeez.
You're the one who said you heard it this morning.
No, I know. I know. It's perfect. It's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Yes.
That right there was in my head all morning long. So thank you, Jerry and Eddie. I appreciate that very much for making that a reality.
Oh, boy. For the Bills, they go home. It's over. Josh Allen says simply didn't do enough.
You're going against the reigning Super Bowl champs who are 15-1 and the number one seed at Arrowhead, and you don't have your A game. You're not going to win the game.
And they didn't. And so, Casey, yep. On their way to Tampa to take on the hometown Bucks.
Hey, when are we leaving?
7th. We're not.
Oh, we're not going to the Super Bowl?
We are not.
No. Oh, how come nobody
told me? And the teams aren't going until next Friday either.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, the Bucks are there.
Well, I think the Chiefs are leaving on Saturday.
Even further. Wow.
They're going to make it like a regular season game, and they're just going to get there Saturday.
And so we're... By the way, they said it was only 9,000 in Green Bay yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no chance that was only 9,000 people.
Yeah, no, it looked like 50% full, in my opinion.
It sure did.
Yeah, it was loud, too, for the first time. You could actually hear the fans making an impact.
And the even in Kansas City, Buffalo was going with the silent snap count.
Yeah.
Nice, and that was approximately 17,000, and that looked like more there, too. So, whatever. And 22,000 for the Super Bowl, as we discussed on Friday, with 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers getting free tickets to the game. We'll see in the coming days if there's anything to the Deshaun Watson rumors that he wants the Jets, maybe. We'll see. Yankees acquire Jameson Taillon from the Pirates for 4 prospects. The Nationals agree to a 1-year deal with reliever Brad Hand. Good showing by Emmanuel Quickley, but the Knicks do lose to the Blazers 116-113. Couldn't get all the way back from a big deficit. That having been said, Tom Thibodeau seems to love this kid.
He gets better with each outing. He puts pressure on people. And, you know, defensively, he's learning. And as time goes on, he'll get better and better.
Knicks whittled a 20-plus point deficit in the second half, all the way down to three, clearly. But the problem was Portland did not miss any free throws. They were 10 for their last 10 down the stretch. Damian Lillard had 39 points and 8 assists. You've got the Nets and the Heat tonight. We'll have that on the fan for you at 7:15. Also, the Celtics beat the Cavaliers 141-103. Clippers by the Thunder 108-100. NHL, the Rangers had a lead in the third period, and then they didn't.
Again.
Jared McCann ties it early in the third and then late in the third.
Makes a move on Kreider. Sets up Gensel. He scores! With a minute 31 remaining in regulation time, Jake Gensel gives the Penguins their first lead of the game. It's 3-2.
Yeah, tough.
They stink.
Yeah, stop it. You know, the thing that really sucks is that, you know, they've had a stretch here where underneath 5 minutes to go in the game, giving up goals, whether game-tying goals or game-losing goals, is just so frustrating. It goes back for, what, 5-6 years now. They got to learn how to close out games.
Jesus. Young team.
The young players are actually playing pretty damn well as the older players that aren't really, you know, performing.
Old team.
Yeah, old team.
Well, the players that you're counting on to put up huge numbers just aren't getting it done.
Underachieving team. So what is the conversion rate on the 1-3-1 in the pandemic shortened season?
Yeah, it's not good right now.
Yeah. What's it like 140 and one?
What did I tell you? First 10 games, man, you better be out there around 500 or better.
Huh?
Well, the Devils are. They're 3-1-1.
Yeah, good for the Devils.
They shut out the Islanders 2-0. The Isles are now 3-2. Jack Hughes and Pavel Zacha both score in the first period. And that was it. 2-0 was the final score. Scott Wedgwood made 28 saves. Rutgers beat Indiana yesterday 74-70 in Bloomington. And you had Stony Brook and Hofstra with wins as well.
So you did that game remotely, Jerry.
I did
not
yeah.
go to Indiana. How'd that work out for you?
It was okay. Here's the problem. We had the Big Ten Network on the top screen.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom screen, we had a live feed from the arena. That's what we were going to do the game off of. And then 5 minutes before we went on, the live feed, gone.
God.
So they wound up getting us a live feed over Zoom, which at first was fine. And then about 30 seconds into the game, as you're calling it off the screen, it got fuzzy and hazy, and I couldn't tell who was who and who was doing anything. So then we had to ramp the delay out, and we did it off the TV, which was fine, but it was on 20-second delay. Here was the issue. As the Zoom thing came back, I could see what was happening 20 seconds in advance.
Oh, God.
It was hard.
You'd really have to shut the Zoom off, though. I mean, you'd have to,
right? I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Really?
No, they said that. I'm like, no, leave it on. I have to see
it. You're a professional. You can handle these things.
I think I handled it just fine.
Yeah, and nobody knows. You're doing radio.
Made some side bets with Mark Peterson, who I did the game with. I said, I bet you he makes his free throw.
That's great.
Yeah. It was all right, though. Not ideal. It's not terrible. It's not ideal.
Are you going to do more of that going forward?
I hope not. I don't think
you'd
so.
You'd rather travel.
Yes.
Why did you not travel?
Because my partner, Joe Boylan, had an issue.
Okay.
And couldn't travel.
Say no more. I got you. All right. Very good. Well, at least you got the job done, and you know that you can do it that way in the future.
Correct.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
I did mention before the Brad Hand thing did bother me because I really thought that he was a Met that one morning when Ken Rosenthal had put that out there. And then when it fell apart, I thought, all right, there was still a chance that he could be a Met, and now he's on the Nationals of all teams. Now, the people that called up and said, oh, the Mets are cheap and it's a Wilpons all over again after the Mets didn't sign George Springer, I said, no, stop. We'll see where they go from here. Because I was confident that they were going to go and, sign Jackie Bradley Jr. and Brad Hand. And I thought, okay, those are two needs. You got a center fielder, everyday center fielder, a great defensive center fielder. Now you got a Super Bowl pen, and that's pretty good, and maybe they upgrade in another area. So now I don't know if that's the route they're going to go. Now, this opens the door, however, and I've seen lots of Mets fans sort of connect the dots to, okay, they didn't break the bank with the George Springer one going over the luxury tax. They didn't go out there and get Brad Hand. Are they serious players on Trevor Bauer again? They weren't. It seemed like prior to George Springer signing with the Blue Jays, they still weren't when Brad Hand was available. Because you're talking about the $25 million gap you have to the luxury tax.
But is there a way on a shorter term deal where the Mets and Trevor Bauer come up with something, and then that is another big move that they have? So now you've got the Lindor trade and then a big signing of Trevor Bauer. You've got two Cy Young Award winners at the top of that rotation. Could that be a possibility now with the way that the dominoes are falling?
It's hard to say. It's hard to get a read on what's going on over there. They're doing a good job of keeping it tight, and nobody really knows what's going on.
Yep.
I was a little surprised that Hand only got one year.
Yeah, I thought he was looking for two. I didn't know what this whole thing. I'd love to know. I mean, it's just Brad Hand. I understand it's not like we're talking about the best player in baseball, but it just seemed like the Mets had a beat on him, and then it seemed like he was looking for 2 years, and then he got 1 year, $10 million, and the Mets were totally out.
And doesn't it feel like the Yankees are just taking a ton of shots on goal?
Yeah.
About, you know, whatever they're going to do with their rotation. I mean, like, just adding guys, and we'll take a flyer in this guy, we'll take a flyer in that guy. We'll
you know what it reminds
here.
Me of?
What's that?
It reminds me of last year with the Mets.
The Mets, yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. And I understand the upside is a little bit greater with Kluber and Tyone than it was with Waka and Porcello, but it's the same type of thing. It's the same, like, hey, if these guys top out, awesome. But if they get hurt again and they're average like they have been, then not so
anything.
Good.
Right. We have other guys, and we have other guys behind them.
Right.
You know, and a lot of that is going to be Severino. It's going to be Herman. It's going to be Montgomery. It's, you know, you still have your ace at the top of the at the rotation. You still have a very strong bullpen, so mm-hmm. all of that is still okay, you know. And they kept DJ LeMahieu, so that's the best thing that they could have done this offseason.
Absolutely, and that rotation can either be really, really good, or it could be average at best. So that's going to be something that we just don't know.
Both teams will make moves at the trading deadline, assuming that they're both competitive.
Right.
You know, I think the Mets are far more competitive right now than they were at any point in time last year. I just hope that the DH now is in the National League. That's just that we still do not have an answer for that, and we still do not have an answer as to when spring training is going to start.
Yeah, so Jameson Taillon, I wanted to mention this earlier. He's a guy that I know Al knows nothing about him, but the only reason I know anything about him is because I was out there in Pittsburgh when he got drafted by the Pirates. So I was out there when they drafted Gerrit Cole, and I was out there, you know, when they drafted Jameson Taillon. And in that draft, you ready for this? So the number one overall pick in that draft, I believe it was 2010. Number one overall pick, Bryce Harper. Number two overall pick, Jameson Taillon. Number three overall pick, Manny Machado. So he was jammed in between two guys who got $300 million in free agency, and he's trying to put it together. Now, he's had his health issues with a testicular cancer. He's had Tommy John. You know, he's been basically hurt or average for most of his career. Second half of 2018, he looked like a first-round pick, a number two overall pick. Outside of that, he hasn't been. But, I mean, this is taking a shot. You know, this is taking a shot on a guy that maybe you get his best years in a Yankee uniform. And it's not something that is a guarantee whatsoever. But also, you're putting him and Gerrit Cole back together who came up sort of through the ranks with one another.
So this could be the Luke Voit of the pitching staff. This could be the Didi Gregorius of the pitching staff. This could be the DJ LeMahieu of
could
the
be.
Pitching staff.
Could be.
In other words, take a flyer on a guy coming off of injuries, obviously had talent. And then next thing you know, maybe here we are in July talking to him, you know, being 5-2, and he's got like a 3.5 ERA, and everybody's just like giddy over the fact that they got this guy for nothing.
Yeah, and he's the type of guy you'd want to root for too, like right. one of the nicest dudes around. So for sure, that'd be great. Be a great story for the Yankees. It'd be a great story for Jameson Taillon. All right, let's go to Drew in Long Beach, who joins us on the Fan. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much. First time, long time. Love the show. Super quick question, really direct for both of you, but maybe more for Boomer. Boomer, I know a little while ago you ran down a list of teams that make sense for Deshaun Watson. How come the Giants are not involved in this discussion? Jones, I understand the upside. I understand Gettleman has, you know, invested in him. I understand the vote of confidence from Judge. He has potential. He is tradable. Along with the top 10 pick, it seems to make sense. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but why not?
You know what? Because I don't think that the New York Giants have the draft capital to get it done. I don't. They only have three picks this year in the top 100, and their own pick being number 11. So, that's not going to get it done. If somebody wants Watson, it's either going to have to be the Jets or the Dolphins, and they're going to have to include the second overall pick or the third overall pick. And I have no idea if Nick Caserio would want to take a flyer on a Sam Darnold, or he'd want to go with Tua Tagovailoa, or he wants to go and draft one of these kids like Zach Wilson out of BYU or Justin Fields out of Ohio State. I mean, these are all the decisions that are going back and forth. But I think the Giants are married to Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I think so, too. I also think that I don't believe that Deshaun Watson is a bad guy. But Dave Gettleman spent years and years and years putting together, his type of players.
Yeah, plus
and now you're going to, break the bank and trade away a bunch of draft picks for a guy who forced himself out because he was disgruntled? It doesn't seem like what they're trying to do over there.
Right. Plus, their salary cap situation is not going to be lend itself to be one of these teams that could absorb a major salary like that. Take a look at their salary. They're about 20th on the salary cap scale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, it's doable. Let's put it that way. All right.
Yep.
But it would have to take a lot of maneuvering. But they're not one of those teams that are looking for one of these guys. They believe they have their guy.
Brian.
Joe Judge has told us that.
Sure. Yeah, they're not looking right now. Brian in Scotch Plains. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Could you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Brian. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you all. I love you. You guys are the best.
Thanks. Thanks, Brian.
Just two real quick points. One is no one's talking about the two drop passes. The Devon Adams drop touchdown pass obviously cost him 4 points.
That wasn't the greatest throw, in that situation.
Yeah, but, it was the back shoulder throw. I don't know.
It was like a back knee throw. That was like a back knee throw.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
he was really open, too. I mean, they don't usually get that open. Troy Aikman, I think, said 99 out of 100 times that's going to be completed between those two players.
Without a doubt. I mean,
yep.
They're practicing it constantly. And then, of course, it's
yep.
a point conversion. So there's your 6 points. Anyway, so I don't hear anyone talking about it if you guys want to comment more. But the other thing I wanted to mention is obviously Steve Spagnuolo has beaten Brady before in a big game. And I don't know if you guys want to comment on that and what the Chiefs' chances are.
He'll have a great game plan devised, no question about it. Coach Cowher was right on it yesterday about Spagnuolo and just doing different blitzes to try to keep Josh Allen in the pocket. And for the most part, he did that until later on in the game. Later on in the game, all of a sudden, Josh Allen started running a little bit more. Brian Daboll tried to run the ball early in the game. Didn't you feel that? They started against the Ravens 19 straight
right,
passes.
I was going to say more than last week they did.
Well, the reason for that is because he knew that, the Ravens' defensive line was too big, that they would not have any success. So the way that he wanted to go about attacking them was, throwing the ball. Yesterday he did try to run the ball more, which I appreciated. They had to take some of the pressure off of Josh Allen. He creates so much of that offense by himself. That they have to get a couple more playmakers up there for him. Brandon Bean will. They'll give him a new contract this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Bean will get him another wide receiver, maybe another running back. Because they have no running game whatsoever.
Yeah, Josh Allen's still doing one thing that he's got to get better at, and that's taking these horrendous sacks. Like, he can turn a 3-yard loss on a sack into a 20-yard loss on a sack better than anybody in the league. I don't know how he does that.
I mean, look, he's playing yesterday on the road in Kansas City against a team that averages 35 points a game in their building in the playoffs against Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, you heard Travis Kelce say it, you heard Andy Reid say it. He played flawless yesterday.
Josh Allen had the third best season of a quarterback this year. This is a minor knock on him, minor. But when you're playing against Patrick Mahomes and you're compared to that guy in that game, when there is a, you even said it yourself earlier, when there's a free rusher at Patrick Mahomes, he's pump faking him, moving, throwing the ball sidearm for a first down. When there's a free rusher going at Josh Allen, he runs 20 yards the other way and gets sacked.
Yeah, well, 90% of the year, he did what Patrick Mahomes did. He just didn't do it yesterday because of the way Steve Spagnuolo had those guys schooled up and what he was telling them to do. And they execute, in the first half, they really executed it.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for a muff punt, they wouldn't have been able to do anything.
Sure. You're right. because I mean that led to that touchdown at that point and a 9-0 lead.
But Josh is a star, man, and they're going to be good. And Brandon Bean, their general manager, now will have the means to go out and get him a few more playmakers around him. And, you know, they'll extend his deal. You'll probably get somewhere between a Deshaun Watson and a Patrick Mahomes deal, somewhere in there. And I would feel, if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, if I'm Maggie this morning, okay, I'm going to eat myself to sleep last night, all right?
Yeah, she did on
you're upset. You're
her
upset.
Instant reaction video, yes.
Right, you're upset. But the bigger picture is that you should be happy that you do have a guy that's going to make sure your team is definitely going to be in the playoffs as long as he is healthy and as long as he's there.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.